right. Welcome, everybody, to the stream. My name is Dakin. I will be your DM this evening. We are having a quick one-shot called Trial of the Elementals, in which a certain genie from Jason's streams earlier from a dicey experience you may recognize will call together his children to see if any are worthy to wield his power. Let me introduce you to the players controlling their characters. We begin with Mr. Chris. Chris, would you introduce yourself and tell us the name of your character?
So I am Chris. I haven't done many YouTube videos. I have one under my belt. And my character is Rill. Water Genasi.
Very good. And Diana?
My name is Diana. I will be playing Arthur Bringer, a Fire Genasi rogue.
All right. Michael?
Hello, my name is Michael. I will be playing Haddison Fearless, who is an Air Genasi wizard.
And finally, Jason.
This is Jason Sketch. You guys all know me as the regular DM on this podcast, but we're super excited to have some new players and a new DM taking over for this evening. I'll be playing Tifek Van Dune, the Earth Genasi, child of the great Van Dune.
Paladin. Anyway, so...
Paladin, yes.
Well, I have...
True so inheritor again, of his power.
True inheritor of the power. So again, my name is Dakin. I have hijacked the stream so that we can put Jason through his own paces, give him a taste of his own medicine, and see how he likes it himself. All right. You guys ready to jump in? Character sheets and D20s at the ready.
Yes.
Yes.
Each of you begin on your native elemental plane. So for Haddison, you are on the elemental plane of air. Tifek, the elemental plane of earth. Ardor on the elemental plane of fire, and Rill on the elemental plane of water. You all know each other. You're all siblings, although you did not necessarily grow up together. You are aware of each other. You all have different names for this genie. Genie goes by many names. When he's in his wind form, he goes by Hade the Fearless. In his earth form, he goes by Guram Van Dune. In his fire form, he is Brim Bringer. And finally, in his water form, he is Durip of the Deep. You all know him by these names. You know that he parades these names around, but all of you also call him Father, Dad, Daddy, what have you. You all have anticipated that at some point in time, one of you will be named his successor. One of you will inherit his power. It certainly cannot go to all four of you. One of you must prove to be superior. And it is at this time you have been prepared and told that a trial will be coming up and to await being summoned on your native elemental planes. Is there anything any of you want to say or do in preparation, knowing that the trials will begin soon?
Tifek will spend time with the Morning Lord.
And a little bit of prayer?
And a little bit of prayer. Knowing that this is about glory, and it is finally his time to... It is finally my time, my lord, to receive my pure inheritance and take on my father's power and to utilize it for not just the glory of myself, but of course the glory of you.
Very good. Anyone else?
Arthur can be found at the gambling table like normal, hanging out with her buddies, the Acolytes of Hadar.
Acolytes of Hadar. Ooh. Sneaky. Cultish. Anybody else? Rill or Haddison?
Yes. So, Haddison, he'll be, I assume his mom is also there?
Can be.
Yeah, so his mom's gonna be there. He's, Mom, I'm gonna miss you so much. I'm gonna get this for you and for the family. I love you.
Very good. A bit of a mama's boy, telling her that you're going to make her proud. Your mother comforts you and says, oh, there you go, dear. Eat another helping of food before you get on the road, okay?
Oh, thank you so much.
Rill?
Rill's going to be sitting in a chair, reading a book.
Reading a book. Yep. Chill as you please.
He's got a book with him, sitting in a chair, lean back, feet on something, probably a barrel, and just reading a book, Not a care or worry in the world?
Not a worry at all. Chill as you please. Calm as you please.
At least not that you can
tell. Fair enough. In front of each of you, as you finish your gambling ardor, a doorway opens out of nowhere. A portal leading to an unknown place. You get up from your gambling table. Ardor.
Arthur would like... Yeah, she would like to make a sleight of hand check to see if she can pocket some of the pot.
Excellent. Make your sleight of hand check for me. First roll of the game. Here we go. Good luck.
Ooh. right. Where'd it go? I got a 14 total.
14. You managed to pocket 6 pieces of gold that do not belong to you before you get up to the table. Most people are, looking at the portal. They're not really looking at the table so much. But you get up, you swipe a couple pieces of gold, and you merrily make your way over.
Oh, yes, I do go through the portal.
Very good. Haddison, for you, the doorway to outside turns into a portal. You've just finished your second helping of stew. Your mother has made sure you're well fed, giving you an extra canteen of water.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mom. Today's the day. I'm so prepared. He's just like welling up with so much energy. He's like, Mom, I'm going to miss you so much. He kind of gives a big like kiss on her cheek and like that.
She gives you a little lace doily to dab your eyes with.
Thanks. I'll make you proud. And I'll go ahead and step through the door.
Okay. Rill, a portal opens up inside a barrel.
Well, it happens to be the barrel that my feet are on, and I fall forward through it.
Straight through it.
And I land on the ground.
All right.
I'm like, oh, crap. Oh, that time already.
And for you, Tifek, as you are in prayer, you stand up and you sense, before it happens, a door opening in the middle of the air, about 3 feet off the ground. For some reason, it's just not on the ground, and that bothers you.
Irritating. He stands up. He's gonna clasp his armor on one piece at a time.
Taking your time.
Taking my sweet time. We'll get over to the greatsword, and we're gonna sharpen it, making sure it is just perfect and in pristine condition. He's gonna pick up his 5 javelins, adjust the splint one last time, toss the shield on his back, look again, hoping that it would, come back onto the ground. Sighs in frustration, scratches his chiseled chin, looks for a freaking chair to stand on so he can stand in portal.
Yeah, you kind of jumping.
Yeah, eventually I get there, and it's like a beached whale. I kind of like have to kick my legs before I fall to the other side.
So for most of you, you arrive on a different demiplane. You are pretty sure this is your dad's home plane, although you're not entirely certain where it exists in the cosmos. Nevertheless, a big, giant, kind of purpley-hued cavern. Huge stalactites, stalagmites, dripping little bits of water. There's a small, like, indoor lake off to one side. And all of you appear and kind of walk through the portal. The 3 of you, I should say, everybody except for Tifek, walks through the portal around the same time. There is an open portal, and nothing's happening with that right this second. So the 3 of you, we'll start with Rill. Why don't you tell us what you look like?
Well, you see a plump, short, little blue water genasi fall out of the portal, hit the ground, roll over, and thank Danny DeVito, but a little bit more plump even. He gets up, sees his family. It's that time already, and puts his book away.
And Ardor, why don't you tell us what you look like?
Ardor is about 5'5", not too tall. About average. I would say that her skin looks like the crust of a volcano where the magma is just kind of peeking through the cracks. And her hair, it looks fiery, but you can't really tell. spoilers, she might light on fire when she's angry.
Yeah.
But she's slight, kind of unassuming. She walks over to Rill with her hands in her pockets and says, "Rill, it has been so long. Sit dehi, how are you?"
"Well, I'm here. It's been good on the ships. Moving cargo as we needed. Can't ask for more. Now, I'm here. Now, you get summoned, you show up, you do what you gotta do."
At which point, Haddison, with tears in his eyes and a lace doily in his hand, walks through a portal. And Haddison, if you'll describe your character, please.
Yes. So Haddison is, he is 6'4". He's very lanky. He's very kind of like skinny. He has like a white garment on, and a small cloak that kind of goes to about his chest, and you kind of can open and close the cloak a little bit. He is a deep blue skin all around, and if you look on his arms and around his face, you see there's lines kind of like almost like wind, and then it kind of swirls around on his hands, and you can see swirls on his cheeks. And if you look up to his hair is like pure white, and it looks like a fan's like ever so slightly blowing on his hair. It's like kind of moving always, a little animated. He kind of goes up with little tears in his eyes, and he's like, "Guys, I'm glad we're here." He kind of like dabs his eyes a little bit, and he kind of looks at them, and he's like, "Okay." And he kind of puts it in his pocket a little bit. He's like, "Hi. It's really nice to meet you. Where's the last guy?"
"Haddison, good to see you. How's your mother?"
"She's doing great." I kind of like start tearing up again a lot. I'm already starting to miss her a little bit, but I'll just get through this trial and I can meet her as soon as I can."
"That is so sweet.
How are you doing?"
"Of Nadui, terrible. I wasn't doing so great in my latest gambling spree."
"Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that. If you need any help, I can always help you if you want." But he kind of looks over to Rill, and he's like, "How have you been?"
"It's been pretty good."
Okay. Have either of y'all seen Tefek?"
"No, the big golem hasn't made it here yet."
"We are still waiting his arrival."
All right."
About which point a Earth Ganassi kind of lumbers up as though he's crawling up into the demiplane that you're on. So he comes in like a beached whale.
"Don't look at me."
he turns away a little bit.
I think Real would go over there and kind of kneel down and just watch at that.
And Tefek, if you'd like to describe your character for us.
Yeah, we do eventually beach whale in and finally fall into the room. I'll stand up and dust myself off real quick. Tefek is a good head taller than everybody else. Knowing that...
You're 7 feet tall?
7 feet tall. He's built and thick. Like, think Arnold Schwarzenegger back in the day. Built. He's got pecs that dance like...
Terry Crews.
His body is very rockish. So it's hard to the touch. It looks very dry. The skin tones are those of almost like a brown and yellow sands kind of mixed together. Can be yellowish in some light. He's got black fingernails. On his right hand, there is what almost appears like a tattooed glove that goes from the base of his knuckle on each finger and goes down to past his wrist into the middle of his arm, not quite touching his elbow. When he closes his fist, it looks like a black claw. He wears splint armor on the front of his body, and has a shield that rests on the back. His greatsword always resting kind of on his shoulder line, like the awesome guy from Final Fantasy VII, whose name I've plumb forgot. His chin is chiseled and cut, He has green hair. Again, it is almost like a crystal-like texture to it, but it is in the shape of what you would be considered dreads in the material plane.
Very cool.
He invited you lot. No reason for you to be here. This is my true inheritance.
How this thing goes up and kind of pulls his hand. He's like, well, I kind of put his hand out towards you.
Fine. Puts his hands out and he'll shake your hand real hard.
He immediately starts trembling. He's like, wow, that's a strong handshake you got there.
It's the firm grasp of the firstborn. Did you expect any less?
Oh.
Ooh, the golden boy is here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even notice you over there. It's almost too small to be represented, really, for your plane of existence.
Well, I wasn't the one crawling in.
Tifik turns away and stands proper facing the portal that he assumes his father.
Oh, the portal closes. Room. As soon as you finally, like, wiggle in, that portal's gone.
He turns his back, and his back's to everyone for a moment, and rests his hands on his great sword. You hear him whispering a small prayer of just patience.
Well, you don't have to wait long. Materializing in the air near all of you, you see a little bit of a brownish hue come into the air. And then it's suffused with white, and then red, and then blue. And the colors kind of, almost like ink drops in water, begin to coalesce in vapors. Smoke begins to billow around the edges of the room. Now, all of you know what's happening. Daddy is about to make his entrance, and you know he's got to make it big. You know, it's like Megamind. It's all about the entrance, okay? So, a distant door that you guys can't even see slams closed, and all of a sudden, the room gets very cold, and ice creeps up around the edges of stalactites and stalagmites, and tiny little voices begin to whisper wicked things from the edges of the room. And then, in that billowing smoke in the center, two gleaming eyes appear, and you hear, "My children, you have returned!"
Father, there was no need to bother them with this. I could have taken care of all this on my own.
Arthur rolls her eyes and, like, wants to run up to him as if she is a daddy's girl. Ada, it is so good to see you. I've missed you so much.
And I have missed each of you in your turn. Tifek, of course we had to summon your siblings here. Proper procedures must be followed. Who will inherit my power? I'm sure you all are wondering. Each of you, no doubt, is eager to inherit the amazing, all-consuming strength of a genie.
Yes, Daddy. Yes, Daddy. He kind of claps his hands really loud.
Tifik turns slowly towards Hadesun and kind of raises his eyebrow a little bit.
Don't. Hadesun is. Well, I mean, don't you want Daddy's power? He's so strong and awesome.
It will be mine. There's no question asked.
Are you sure? Like, we could take turns, maybe? Or maybe
there will be no turns. There will be no turns. Only one of you can inherit the power. I have prepared a series of trials to determine who is most worthy to bear my power. I have set a series of trials. You must progress through all three and emerge victorious. I will be watching each trial and judging. If you avail yourself well in the first two trials, you will find your odds of surviving the third much higher. Shall we begin?
Yes.
Let's get it over with.
If we got him.
Eddie.
Very well. To show me, you must show me that you are the master of every social situation. Your first trial will take place individually. All of a sudden, as you watch in the cave that you're in, a large mud and brick room just pop, 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 like one brick on top of the other, appears, materializes, builds itself out of nothing. A large, simple wooden door appears as well. And you can see that the room backs up to the cave. And so there's only one door in. And that, as far as you can tell, there's only one door out right now. Each of you must individually pursue whatever is in this room, and I will be judging. Roll initiative.
Pursue.
Twenty for real?
17 plus 3.
Great, yeah. All right, and 18 for Haddison. 15 to 10. 10 to 5.
What is that? I got a 9.
9. There it is. All right. And a 4, I believe, for Tyfek. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yep. Unfortunately, I rolled a 4. Great way to start the game. Get the bad rolls out of the way.
So, yeah, get them out of the way now. That's all right. Okay, so you will all
first
be taking
born,
part.
First born, first to fall.
Oh, shade being thrown back at you. It's been thrown around already a lot.
Yeah, a little bit.
You will each be taking part in this first trial individually in order of initiative. And so one by one, you'll be going into the room, and I'll tell you what's in the room, and then you're going to go ahead and do whatever you think you need to do, and then we'll see what happens from there, okay? So, Rill, you approach the door first. You hear your father's voice say, "Enter, and when you can, exit through the other door."
Okay. I walk up to the door. Is there a handle? Okay. So I grab the handle, check to make sure my backpack's on, and I walk through the door.
You walk through the door, and the door closes very quickly behind you. You enter a small mud brick room with a table and two chairs. There's a door at the other end. Seated at the table is a herring gon, that's a rabbit folk, eating a carrot, a large carrot, sort of chewing on it. On the table is a plate with a large piece of cheese. What do you do?
I walk up to the herring gon. Okay, I'm here. What am I supposed to do?
Wow, you're really short. You're much shorter than I thought you would be in person.
I'm gravitationally challenged.
Gravitationally challenged is just an excuse for people who don't know how to grow taller. What's your deal?
You look hungry.
I am hungry, which is why I'm eating a carrot. So you're very observationally challenged and very gravitationally challenged. Tell me one more. That's two sins. Do you have three?
I plop a mushroom on the table.
A mushroom?
Yep.
What is that?
It is a Zabo mushroom.
Okay.
Yep.
Is this a joke?
Look. No. Look. I'm supposed to get through that door. What do I got to do to get through that?
Excellent question. I have no idea. Why did you put a mushroom on the table if you didn't know how what it would take to get through the door?
You seemed hungry.
I'm eating a carrot.
Well, here's more food. I'm going to go walk over
you
the
walk
door.
Walk over the door. He could choose his carrot.
What do I see at the
it's
door?
It's got a latch on it. It looks just like a door.
I'm going to attempt to open the door.
It doesn't budge.
How strong does the door look?
You're welcome to try it. It looks like a relatively simple wooden door. What do you want to do?
I'm going to walk back to the rabbit and ask why he's here.
Why am I here? Why are you here? I was here enjoying my carrot. You walked in, you put a mushroom on the table, and then tried to open the door in the back. What's the deal with that?
I was told to come in here and open that door and go through it.
Then what's the deal? Open the door.
Door didn't open.
Well, it sounds...
There's got to be something with you.
Gravitationally challenged.
Between you and the door.
Observationally challenged. Can't open a door challenge. You really are special, aren't you?
Can you open the door?
Can I open the door? Of course I can open the door. It's a door. I can open any door. Just, you know, by turning the latch. It's that simple.
Latch didn't work.
I don't know what to tell you. Maybe you could turn into a dribble of water and go through the keyhole. He shoes you with his fingers away
I'm
from
not
him.
That short. I'm not that short.
But it looks like it wouldn't take much to trim you down to size.
Well, come on. See if you can push me through that.
I'm quite happy eating my carrot right now, actually. Thank you so much.
Then I'm going to go for the carrot.
You going to try to steal it from him?
Oh, absolutely. Right. With that, I'm going to go ahead and pop my first key point for the fun of it.
What do you want to
do? And I'm going to go ahead and throw out my arms.
Okay.
So I have a 10-foot range. Well, technically that would be on a punch, but if you would allow it, I would try to just for
pop,
fun.
Yeah, spin a key point, get a longer range for your
absolutely.
Arms. I'm down. That's fine.
Yeah.
So, for the purposes of this, we're going to do an opposed check, all right? So you're going to try and take the carrot from him. Let's do an attack roll to see if you can snatch the carrot. And I am going to roll an opposed, I'm thinking, dex save. Okay? Go for it. First DM roll.
Oh, I am considered proficient in my own hands.
Of course you are.
Still only 11.
Oh, Well, I got a 16. You go to you reach to snatch the carrot from 15 feet away. Yeah. You think you got this. You go to snatch it. The herring gun just turns slightly, and your arm goes shooting way past. You're glad your siblings didn't watch that. That was very embarrassing.
I don't even want to be here.
Oh. You don't want to be here?
Okay.
Why did you walk in the door?
Yeah.
You're the first one to walk in the door. It seems to me like you're the only one that wants to be here.
Figured I'd get this over with. Okay. What do you need from me to get you to open that door?
I'm not opening the door. Why would I open the door for you? You've come in, you'd be rude. You gave me a mushroom. I'm worried about eating this mushroom, since maybe it's going to stunt my height, make me short, make me gravitationally challenged. Maybe I'll lose my eyesight, just like you, too. I don't know.
Because I guess I get to be annoying. And I'm going to continue to go after the carrot. Oh, I'm going to be that little kid just trying to grab.
Snatch, snatch, snatch. Yep. Okay, go ahead and make another check for me. Your attack roll.
Oh, even worse. That one.
You reach for the carrot. The herring gun, you know, he's got, is a rabbit folk. He's got that, like, really big leg, you know, with the knee joint at the bottom. Anyway, he slips his foot out, kicks your legs out. You fall on your face. Smack. Flat on your face. You're annoyed. Your look, you know, you're a water ganassi, so maybe, like, you're starting to, like, lose a little bit of your water, like, onto the floor. The floor is starting to get a little bit wet because you're frustrated and you're angry.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to do? You want to stand up and go again?
Well, it's not far to stand up, so I might as well.
Yeah, sure. You go again?
No, I think I'm going to take the table.
Okay.
I'm
so
just going to take the table and go hit the door with it.
There's a table, there's a plate, there's cheese, and a mushroom. You're just going to take the table?
Okay, I forgot about the cheese.
What do you want to
do? I'm going to take the table.
Yeah, so you're just going to pick
the whole
table
thing
up.
I'm going to take it.
The whole thing.
I'm going to take it over to the
pick
door.
It up. You take it over to the door.
Yep.
Hey, what's the idea? What are you doing? Why are you doing that? He's still sitting in his chair. Like, this whole time, just sitting in his chair.
I figured, but I'm getting stuff away from around him.
He turns his chair around to face you at the door with the table.
Whap, 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 whap.
What else is
what
in
do
the
you
room
do, Real?
Other than the table?
That's it. That the table, there's the two of you, there's two chairs, there's a table, there's a plate, there's cheese on the plate, and then there's also a mushroom there, and he's eating a carrot. That's it.
I'm going to go take the other chair and move it over by the door. And I'm not placing these in front of the door.
Just by the
door. By the door.
That's fine. Nothing happens.
Okay.
What do you want to do?
I'm going to go for his chair this time.
You go for his chair? He is going to cast Burning Hands as you reach for his chair. He kind of blows on his fingers a little bit, and then boom, kind of pushes his fingers out at you. As he does, flame springs from his fingers. You need to make a dex save for me.
Ooh.
15.
15 is exactly what you need to get.
No
so
damage.
You'll take half.
Evasion.
Oh, you have evasion. Okay. So the damage, just for our viewers at home, I rolled 10 damage total. So what happens is you see the flames emit from his hand, and you do a full-on, like, limbo backbend, okay? All the way away, the flame shoots over the top of you. Your short stature has come into play and helped you in this instance. The flames retreat back into his fingers.
Hey, since you're so fond of saying it, I'm down here. Now, are you going to open the door, or do I get to just keep being annoying?
I'm not opening the door, and this is my chair. What's your deal?
I want out of this room.
Then I suggest you do something to get out of the room. I'm not opening the door for you.
I'm going to go for his chair.
Okay.
I'm still going for his chair.
Let's go opposed athletics check.
Okay. Well, I get to make that with my wisdom because I have my arms out.
Okay.
Which makes that a 17.
Okay. He got a 14. So what happens is, you reach for his chair. He kind of scrambles down and just, you know, puts his hands on it. He's trying to, like, jump up and down and kind of keep it away from you. But as he kind of comes up on a jump, you reach over and yank it, like, out from underneath him, and he falls on the floor. His carrot goes shooting off to one side of the room. Hey, you want to make a scene about it?
I am going to rush for the carrot. So okay. I have both items, one in each hand.
Okay, so you have the chair. You're going to run for the carrot. He will reach for the carrot at the same time.
Okay.
So let's roll initiative versus each other.
21.
Oh, yeah, yeah, he got a 12. So you run over, you grab the carrot. Huh?
I switched to die.
It's a thing. It's a thing. You run over, you snag the carrot. You've got the carrot in one hand and the chair in the other. He is going to cast... I don't want to do another... Yeah, he's going to cast Scorching Ray, okay? So these will be three attack rolls for him.
Okay.
All right. First one is a 16. Nope. A 25?
Barely. No, I'm just kidding. It hits.
Yeah. And another 16.
Nope.
So, just one. Mm-hmm. And I rolled double ones, so you take 2 points of fire damage.
Oh, no.
Want to make a scene? We can make a scene. Give me back my carrot.
Open the door. I'll give you back your carrot and your chair. And I'll leave the room.
I'm not opening the door for you.
I'm going to eat his carrot.
Oh, you take a... A big bite out of his carrot. I mean, he's mad now. Mm-hmm. He is so mad. So he's going to go for... He's not thinking. He's going to go for fireball. So go ahead and make your deck save.
Nat one.
Oh, no.
All right. Let me roll some damage. I didn't think I was going to get to.
This is D&D, man. Expect to roll some damage.
Is the room even big enough for dexterity to matter with fireball?
You know, it's D&D, so...
Actually, I take half damage because of evasion. I just thought about that.
Yes, you do.
So,
you do. Half of, so yeah. it is 25 total damage that you will have to 12.
Oh, okay.
You'll have to 12. We round down on that. Okay, so you take 12 points of fire damage. And what do you want to do? You've got his carrot in your hand. You've taken a big bite out of it.
How's the chair look after the fireball?
Scorched.
Not usable?
Worse for wear.
Not usable?
You could try sitting in it.
Well, the question is, could he sit in it?
He could try. It doesn't look like it would hold the weight, okay. But, you know, who knows?
So I'm going to take it. Well, now you destroyed the chair. Toss the chair over my shoulder behind me. And I take another bite of the carrot. And... You're getting less and less carrot, man. Just let me out.
You are already less and less of a person, so why would I... I'm not letting you out. I'm not opening the door. I don't know what you want me to tell you.
I will... Well, question. How much carrot is left?
About 2 inches of carrot.
I'm going to take all but, you know, just the nub. I'm just going to leave the nub.
Leafy green at the end.
And I'm going to...
So you bite off everything but what's at the end?
Everything but the leafy green. I'm going to throw it at him. Can I try to hit him with it? I don't care about damage. I just want to hit him with the thing.
Make a attack roll. This is a weapon I wouldn't... Are you not proficient with improvised weaponry, are you?
No.
So let's go dex.
Okay.
Just straight dex.
Straight dex. Well, no, that's only unarmed strikes. Never mind. That'd be a 13, so probably not.
It... Sails past his head, but as you finish the carrot, you hear the latch in the door unlock.
Okay. Well, I guess that's what I needed to do. Bye.
You go through the door.
Absolutely.
You go through the door, find yourself in another part of the cave. We'll come back to you in a moment, okay? Haddison, you
now,
since
hold
your
on.
Time has... Well, yeah.
Before he goes, did we hear any of that explosion or anything on the other side of the
door? Oh, yeah. You hear muffled, like, pop, pop. You hear some muffled yelling. You hear, you see a little bit of steam escaping from the room. Like, definitely something went down in that room.
Did, was that just an explosion?
It sounded like it. I'm a little scared.
It wasn't me, that's for sure.
Didn't Father say it was a social interaction?
Daddy did say that, but, it didn't look very social.
Fair enough. I guess we should be prepared for anything.
Can I grab the cheese on the way out?
Sure.
Since I put it by the door.
Yeah. Snag the cheese on your way out? Mm-hmm. It's like a big old wedge of really, really sharp cheddar cheese.
That's all good.
All right, Haddison, you step up to the door. A sense of trepidation in your legs, but you open the door.
Yes. I kind of open the door.
You walk in. The door shuts very quickly behind you. And as though none of that had happened, not that you would know that any of that happened necessarily, But you see a Herringon in a chair eating a carrot. There's a second chair on the other side of the table. There's a table. There's a plate, and on that plate is a big piece of cheese, and there is a door on the far wall. What do you want to do?
I'll go up to the Harrington. I'll go and Haddison will go ahead and sit down. He'll be like, hi, my name's Haddison. What's your name?
My name's Haddison? What, you hesitated? Like you forgot your name? Did you forget your name? Haddison?
No, I didn't forget. I was a little nervous, and I'm not good at meeting people, and you just seemed a little intimidating.
I seem intimidating.
Shakes his head really kind of fast a little bit.
Well, what did you come in here for?
Well, you see, my daddy, he was,
you know, you don't have to repeat words. You could just say them once and not be repeating them. You know, my dad. Sound like an invalid. Were you born a couple of days ago? Are you the runt of the group? You are taller than the last one, but you might still be scrawnier somehow.
Oh, yeah, I am the runt, but I guess I am taller than most of my other siblings. I'll try and be more fluent with my words.
More fluent with your words? Still learning common, yes. Then, huh? Still learning common? You need a dictionary? Would you like a dictionary? Can I buy a dictionary for your birthday? When's your birthday? Don't answer that. I don't care.
Haddison's kind of just like stops his mouth open a little bit. Like there's like questions flying at him left and right. He's like, no dictionary. I'm decent at common. And I was told that I need to go through the door on the other side. I thought it might be nice. You know, he seems like a great guy. And
I was intimidating first. Now I'm a great guy? Are you racist? You got something against rabbit folk?
Oh, no, I don't. He's kind of messing up on his own words, tripping over his own words, can barely kind of mumbling at this point almost.
And we're back to this fluent thing you were talking about. You're doing great. Killing it so far.
It kind of calms down a little bit. He's like, okay, well, you seemed a little scary at first, but talking to you, you seem like a pretty great guy. Is it okay if I can go and to the other door and go ahead and head out?
The Herringon stares at you somewhat incredulous, just like, are you serious? And then he kind of looks at the door behind him and he just motions with his hand as though, be my guest.
Okay. Haddison will go ahead and get up. He kind of walks towards the door. And he tries to turn the doorknob.
Doesn't move. Doesn't budge.
Oh.
Takes a bite of his carrot.
Sorry, what was your name again?
Are you back to the whole bumbling over your words thing? Is this a thing for you? You just enjoy repeating yourself over and over again?
No, I don't enjoy repeating myself.
And let me back up here for just a second, because you were unable to open that door and then immediately ask for me for my name, as though my name has some power over opening a door.
No, I wanted to...
What's the correlation going on? You're kind of dumb, aren't you?
Well, I don't know about dumb, but I thought it'd be nice to call you by your name and just not by, you know, what you are.
Little. By what I am?
Yeah, the Harrington.
Ah, Harrington. It's Herringon, I'll have you know, first. And then second, you are racist.
No.
How dare you? Kobe, I'm not personally offended that you even walked... You know, all you Air Ganassi are the same. You know, you're all airy, and you seem like you're just, holier than thou, and you're better than the rest of us, just haired up in the clouds, not even paying attention to the people just kind of scurrying around, us rabbits, we're just lesser beings, you know, just eating our carrots, doing our thing, but you're up in the clouds, you're better than us, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I'm even in this room.
No, it's okay. He goes ahead and kind of like runs over and sits back in the chair. He's like, no, I don't think I'm holier than you. I was told to go through the other door, and you seemed like you maybe, you know, a solution, and I was... Kind of left it open-ended a little bit.
Yeah. You think I know a solution?
Yeah, you seem really smart.
You have made so many assumptions about me since you walked in the room, and you've told me about several of them. I'm a little bit worried about you. Can I ask you a question? can I ask you a question? He reaches over and he puts his hand like on yours on the table and kind of pats a little bit. Do you wet the bed at night?
No, not anymore. Not since I was. He kind of counts on his fingers a little bit. And he's like,
Are you counting on your fingers still?
Well, I needed to remember. And he goes, about probably since I was like 8, I stopped wetting the bed.
And how old are you now?
I'm about 25.
About 25. Okay.
25.
You know what? I'm gonna help you out. You seem like you need the help. You can just go. You can go. Go ahead. Go on.
Well, I can open
just,
the door.
Yeah, just go. Just go. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your help. And he kind of gets up. He kind of walks over to the door. He
Not
tries
that
to open
door.
It.
The one you came in through. You can just go.
Well, no. I was told to go through the other door.
Well, but you're bedwetting, stuttering, you know, dumb, racist, on top of all of that.
Well,
I don't think this is for you. I don't think you need to be involved in all this. He kind of gestures around.
He's like, I do want to be involved. I do want to get the power so I can become stronger for my mom and for
your mama.
Yes.
That's so sweet. Kind of shakes. He casts fireball on the instant. Just
a counterspell.
Oh, counterspell. You can counterspell. Absolutely.
So
you see the flames just like emanate from him. You sense the explosion, and your instincts of years and years as a wizard, learning, you know, how to cast magic and how to do magic, all of a sudden come into play. All of your danger sense kind of comes in, and on instinct you move your hands. Or how do you cast counterspell?
So as he kind of sees the ball of flame kind of building up his hand, he's like, oh, and he kind of like he shudders away. But as he does, he flings his hand in the air, kind of almost like flinging some yes, and it kind of fizzles out his fireball. He's like, ah! He kind of screams and flings his hand in the air.
Oh, you know a little magic.
Oh, why did you try to hit me? I just needed to get through this door.
Oh, you just need to get through the door. Is there something you want to do? Do you want to return? I meant to say at the beginning of this, by the way, there will be no long rests. So if you've got limited pool of spell slots or ability points or you know key points or whatever, understand what you have is what you have the whole way through. Okay.
Got it.
Well, I need you to open the door for me. He kind of brushed off the fireball like maybe it was an accident or something. He's, well, I need you to open the door for me. If you're going to hurt me again, I'm going to have to hurt you. And I don't want to do that because I want to be friends with you.
Oh, you want to be friends with me? Well, I don't want to be friends with you, first off. And second, I'm not opening the door.
Long sighs. Well, if you're not going to open the door...
Yeah, you gonna do something about it? Gonna stick up for yourself? Huh? Gonna be a man? Huh? Stop wetting the bed? Huh? Stop stuttering? Huh?
Yeah!
Huh?
Yeah!
Yeah!
He kinda, as
yeah.
he says that, he kinda
yeah.
builds himself up. He's like,
takes
yeah!
another bite of his carrot. Come at me, big boy!
I'm gonna beat you up! And then, see, voice just crackling like crazy. He's going to cast Scorching Ray.
Alright, go ahead. Make your attack roll.
Yep. First one... is an 11.
11 misses.
Second one, is a 26.
That hits.
And then the third one is a 17.
That also hits.
Nice.
Give me some damage.
All right. Yes. So for the first one that hits, that is going to be 12 damage.
Okay.
And then the second one is going to be 7 damage.
Hey, that hurt. What's the big idea, huh? You liked it? And so he's going to cast back at you. What are we going to go for here? I think he'll go back for Scorching Ray. Same thing. Pop, pop, pop. Here they come. You're going to counterspell that? You have limited spell slots. I don't...
Yes, yeah. I am going to just accept it.
Okay. The first one is a 22. Definitely. The second one is a 13.
Does not hit.
Last one is a 15.
Hits.
Okay, so two hits. All right, so that's four damage on four fire damage on the first one, and 10 fire damage on the second one. As he says, "How do you like it? I'll do it back at you." And he flicks his fingers, and three rays pew, 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 come shooting out. Bow, bow, bow. Big contact with you. You got fire going all around you. It hurts. It burns. You're starting to cry a little bit. The breeze that unseen kind of blows your hair and your cheeks and things around is beginning to blow a little bit stronger. You're getting frustrated. What do you want to do?
I mean, does he? How hurt does he look from those scorching rays? Like
he didn't look rough necessarily, but he definitely took a hit. Definitely took a couple hits.
He's gonna be, you know, swirling up into anger. He is going to, he is going to, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? I'm just gonna throw a big one out there.
Okay.
He's going to pull out something from his little pouch.
Okay.
He's gonna pull a little bit of dust out of his pouch. He's gonna smash it together, and he's gonna kind of blow it in front of his face. He's gonna cast Sickening Radiance.
Ooh, okay. What kind of save do I make on that?
It is a Constitution save.
Okay. How does a 14 fare?
That is not going to fare very well at all. He will take 28 radiant damage. Ooh! And he gets one level of exhaustion.
Now he's looking pretty bad. He cast this huge death ray at him.
It's a 30 feet radius. Like, okay. It's like completely.
You fry the table, you fry the chairs, the door behind the Herringon has like a Herringon soot impression on it, you know? And so you blast the heck out of him. He goes, "Ah! What's the big deal? Why are you being mean to me? It's because you hate Herringons, isn't it?"
"No, it's because you blew up my carrot. The door for me.
You blew up my cheese. You blew up my table. Now what are you gonna do? What do you have to show for yourself? Huh? You gonna cry some more? Huh? Is this how you deal with your problems?"
"No. I'm going to beat my enemies, and I'm going to take my father's power."
You sound like you're really convinced of that. He's going to do create a bonfire, so make right where you're standing. So go ahead and make a deck save for me, please.
All right. Since he started his turn there, he takes another radiant damage.
Oh, crap. Right, how much?
He's going to take 24 damage.
He's gone. And he's gone. He's incinerated.
All right.
Yeah. So what happens is this big, radiant cone of damage hits him. He starts yelling and screaming about it. He goes to cast another spell, and then it kills him entirely. He's gone. Yeah, the Herringon is dead. His black carcass.
You could say that the Herringon is gone.
The herring is gone. His blackened carcass falls to the ground in front of you.
He's like, "See, if you just help me open the door," and he goes and tries to open the door.
The door now opens for you.
Woo!
So you
and pass he kind of gives a he kind of gives a little cheery kind of skip as he opens the door and walks right through.
All right, you find yourself in another part of the cave, and we will circle back to you presently. Ardor, you sense it is your turn to walk through the door.
She, I want to say, slinks. She slinks to the door opens it just a crack.
Mm-hmm.
And she is like scanning the room as she opens the door.
Well,
you say the table is?
You've heard more explosions and yelling from within the room. But now, again, as though nothing has happened, there's a herring gone. The room's only about 30 feet big, square, if you will. The table's in the middle, the table's just 5x5. And then the Herringon sitting on the other side of that. And so he is, 20 feet from you? Sitting there eating a carrot. You recall your dad said this is a social encounter. You do what you will with that, but your dad did say so, sure.
Did she go in?
She's about to.
Yeah. Hang on, Jason. I am walking in the door. Wait your turn.
I was just gonna say, don't, no explosions. This advice, no explosions.
Before she fully goes in the door, she's gonna turn around and finger gun with a little bit, a tiny flame coming off her finger.
Oh, it ties that?
And then she walks fully in the door.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
He's just gonna rub his forehead, watches you walk and close the door.
Is he bald on the front? Is he receding hairline?
Kind of. I mean, again, the dreads go back, so you can rub the forehead because the dreads are being pulled.
Right, okay. I just wanted an extra visual there. So she goes in the room.
Door closes quickly behind you.
And she sees the herring gun almost on me because she wouldn't go too far into the room. Ardor wants to make an insight check on this herring gun.
Oh, what are you trying to divine?
I am trying to divine, does he look like he's hiding something? Does he look like he knows anything? Or is he just someone that's literally paid to be here?
All right, yeah, make your insight check.
I got a natural 20, and that is plus, 4.
Plus 4. Okay.
24.
So natural 20. Well done. Plus 4. So you read the room pretty quick. And as you do, like he can tell you that you're looking him over pretty closely. He kind of raises an eyebrow and goes, "You're hot." And then you kind of putting two and two together. You see the cheese, you see the carrot, you see the door. You heard all these explosions, but the room shows no wear and tear whatsoever. This might all be an illusion, or if it's not an illusion, then this is just a situation that your dad has cooked up to kind of see what you do in the situation. Whether the rabbit is real or whether the rabbit is probably not a paid actor necessarily, but maybe he's just being conjured up as a method of kind of testing what you want to do. But whether he knows something or not, he does look like he might be hiding something. Maybe there is something he's trying to conceal. Not on his person, but to himself mentally.
So Ardor is going to, again, slink to the table. Mm-hmm. She sort of embodies fire in the way that she moves. Whether that is subconscious or was conscious and she just no longer registers it.
Okay.
She sits at the table. And she's not wearing a skirt, but she does that thing where you like scoot your hands under the skirt to make sure it is situated correctly when you sit.
Okay.
She looks at the herring gun and says, "Hello, Sit Dicky, how are you?"
"Well, I was doing fine. And then you walked in the room."
"Are you not still doing fine?"
"I wouldn't say so, no. I was enjoying my carrot." Takes a big bite out of it. "But now you've come in here and interrupted my lunch." What did you say when you sat down?
Sit-de-he. It is my native tongue.
Your native tongue. Is your native tongue gibberish? Is that what that is?
Knock. It is not gibberish.
Goblin, perhaps. Is this a dialect of goblins? It's very guttural language.
Knock. It is a dialect of primordial from my native fire plane.
You say knock and he knocks on the table.
I see. Well, I don't mean to interrupt your lunch, but would you mind if I joined you?
You want to join me? Did you bring something to eat?
Sure.
You brought something to eat?
No, but I did bring a set of 3 dragon ente. Can I entreat you to a game?
Make a persuasion check. First social roll. 3 people team. First one.
First roll. First social roll.
So that is 12 plus 8. That is a dirty 20.
Oh, well done. He says, "Okay, sure. What are the stakes?"
I sense maybe you might be concealing something from me. I am curious as to what it is.
Did they teach you how to sense things in Goblin Land?
You could say that, yes.
Fine. Against what? What do you have to offer me over 3 dragon ant tea that I might be interested in?
Complete silence while you finish your carrot.
Complete silence. While you do a handstand for as long as you possibly can while I finish my carrot.
A D. Agreed.
A D. A D. He coughs off to the side menacingly. Deal. Okay.
Dayan.
So, we'll just roll to see who kind of gets the better hand on this. Are you proficient with gaming?
No bonuses.
Sorry?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're proficient with gaming?
This is my card game. I'm proficient.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what I'll have you do is go ahead and you're going to roll, let's say, intelligence and add your proficiency bonus. He's going to roll and add his intelligence, and we'll see who has the better hand. Sound good?
Agreed.
Okay. Go for it.
Mm-hmm. I got a 17 plus 2 plus 4. So that is a 20. That's a 23, right?
Something.
Yeah.
Well, he got a 6. So what happens is you very quickly realize that you have the upper hand. Like, you know from the get-go, you know where his moves are going, you know what he's going to do with his cards, and you just kind of like playing chess with him, track him down into a corner, and as you play your final card, it is over unequivocally. He was never going to win, and you, without a doubt, just won that match. He sits back. Feel like I might have been cheated.
You could check my sleeves, but I don't have any. So, maybe if we played again, I can teach you.
I don't want to be taught anything. The name's Fuzzmeister McGee.
Nice to meet you, Fuzzmeister.
As you say Fuzzmeister, the door on the other end unlocks.
Ah, Fuzzmeister, it seems as though you will get to finish your carrot in peace. I have been our door bringer, and have a nice
you
day.
You have been very annoying.
She slinks out the door.
You go.
She, like, sort of does a patronizing curtsy right before she leaves the door.
He doesn't watch at all. Does not care. Okay. Well done. Make a few notes here. All right.
Are the notes you're making that I'm the best?
Oh, that you're the best?
Because it should be.
Yet to be seen. Typhec. No explosions. No yelling. But you sense that your time has come. And it's time for you to open the door.
She was always easiest to talk to. All right. He approaches the door. Shines his armor one last time. And opens it.
And again, the room is before you, just as I've described before. There's a herring gone in a chair. There's a chair opposite. There's a table in the middle with a plate and a piece of cheese. And he is eating a carrot. And directly opposite from you, on the other wall, is a door.
Good morrow. May the blessings of the Morning Lord fill your day.
What makes you think I care about the morrow or the Morning Lord? I'm just trying to eat a carrot. And you and your other 3 siblings have come in here and just disturbed the peace over and over again. You look like you're wearing armor. You got a big sword. Are you a guard of some kind?
No.
I want you to arrest yourself and walk back out the door. Just leave me alone.
It seems we're at a bit of an impasse. I must cross to the other side. You're enjoying your lunch?
Yes. Well, I was.
What's wrong with it?
Well, now you've got sand all over the floor.
Ah, it must be coming out of my can. Give me a moment. And he gets down and he starts scooping up sand and puts it back into his trinket can and closes it.
Awesome.
Is that better?
I just want you to go. Just go.
Again, we are at an impasse. Unless I can travel through the other door,
I'm not stopping you. Do you want me to stop you? Do you need a sign? Do you need somebody's permission? Are you one of those guys that just needs somebody to tell you? Listen, can I ask you a question? Listen, I'm serious about this. He looks you like deep in the eyes. Do you wet the bed?
No.
Then you don't need my permission to walk through that door, do you?
I do not, but unfortunately, my father has always set up his trials in ways that are more annoying than not. So thus,
I agree, because you came in here and that was more annoying than you not coming in here. So yeah, 100% there, nailed it. Well done. You've been through some trials before. Did you ever stop to consider that perhaps they're annoying because you're involved?
Takes a step forward and he sits at the table and you're probably right. He'll cast command.
Okay, what do you command? You get a one-word command. What do you want to do?
Open, and he points at the door.
Okay, wisdom, I believe?
Let me pull that back up. It is a wisdom saving throw, yes.
All right, here we go. 18?
I notice that the spell does not take effect.
Okay. Hey, what's the big idea? Trying to use magic up in here? You think you're the only magic user? You think you're really that cool? Do you think, can I ask you another question? Do you think you're special?
I am special. But I don't need to hear it from you.
He is going to cast... Oh, that's not going to help. All right, he will go for Scorching Ray.
Yep.
Three fire blasts come plummeting out of his hands at you.
All right.
Here we go. Natural 20.
Good.
Okay. 11?
Nope.
And a natural 1, so alright. Alright. Let's see here. Okay. Oh, lame. Okay. 10 total points of damage from a critical scorching ray. I rolled 2 4s and then I rolled 2 1s right after it.
Oh, gosh.
So, okay. Alright, 10 total points. Hits you right, so the first one hits your armor. Not a big deal. The second one hits you right in the throat, just in the gap between your splint. Hurts, burns like fire. The second one hits the door very well clear of you, a long, long way away. Yeah, you're not the only magic user in the room. Does it make you feel better now? Do you feel like you're not so special, Mr. Not Knowing Man?
That was rude. You will have
it was rude to 30 command
seconds
me. 30 seconds.
To
I've got 30
door
seconds. You've got 10 seconds to stop talking. You want to intimidate him?
Yes.
He's not very easily intimidated, but you may go ahead and roll.
All right. So an 11.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So yeah. He's just interrupting you. Doesn't care. He's saying, well, you gave me 30 seconds. I'm going to give you 10 seconds. How about you have 10 seconds and you scurry a little tiny rock bottom behind out the other door, the door you came in. Go ahead.
I'm going to leap across the table. I have the grappler feet, and I'm going to grapple him, and then I'm going to pin him to the ground.
All right, so this is opposed athletics, although he's going to go for acrobatics on this one, but you roll athletics.
Yes. 21.
I got a 2. You leap across the table, the plate and the cheese goes flying. Will you grab him by what? The throat? The chest? What are you going for?
I leap across the table, my shoulder hits his neck, and I'm gripping him almost in like a headlock.
Yeah.
And we slam to the ground, and my ribs are resting on top of his body. Pinning his hands.
Hey, what's the big deal? Why you gotta be like that? What are you just gonna hold me here forever? Can I ask you a question? He looks deep into your eyes. Are you gay?
Are you itching to find out?
No! No! I want you to get off of me! Give me my carrot back! Give me my cheese! Yeah, I mean, you got
it. Appears we're at an impasse. You can offer to let the door open for me.
Or I can't open it. You and all three of your siblings can't get this idea through your head. I can't open the door!
Is that so? He licks his finger and gives him a wet willy.
You can make an intimidation check at advantage now, if you'd like.
That is a 20... Oh, gosh. 25?
Oh. You menacingly, slowly pull a finger out of your mouth, and just slowly he tries to get away. Big, big herring gone ears. He tries to get away, and you just slowly... And it's in his ear, and you wiggle it around a little bit. You leave a little bit of dirt and debris in his ear as it comes out, and he just looks horrified, completely horrified.
Like, this ends in one way. You know the answer.
He's just like completely stricken.
Keep in mind, when I have him pinned, we are both restrained.
You're both restrained for the grappler feat. All right, he looks you in the eye, and he's going to spend a couple sorcery points to cast a spell without somatic components or verbal components. He's going to go for fireball.
Okay.
Make your deck save at your restrained at disadvantage.
I got a 12.
Okay, you're going to fail.
Okay. The other die was a 16. I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, sure. Okay, that is 27 points of fire damage. Explodes around you. And then he leans up next to your ear and says, "You can call me Bilbo." Now go.
Okay. So is he no longer restrained because of that?
No, still restrained. You still got a grip on him.
Okay. Can I pick him up and drag him with me towards the other door?
I should think so. Go ahead and make an athletics check at advantage for me. We'll just see if he happens to wriggle free.
Natural 20?
I also got a natural 20. But since the advantage lies with you, I'm going to say you prevail.
Okay.
So he struggles, I mean hardcore. I'm flipping, flinging, kicking his legs around, but you just tighten that grip on his neck and drag him with you to the door.
Yep. With the other hand,
the latch doesn't open.
This ends one way.
I told you. Back for the wet willy. You can call me Bilbo!
All right, Bilbo.
The door unlocks.
Drops him. Thank you. Have a good day. May the morning lord bless you in all of your endeavors.
Just and he walks get out. The door. All right. You exit. Well. So, for our viewers at home and for y'all's own edification, there are a couple of ways to get through the social encounter. You can eat his carrot. You could eat the cheese. Nobody did that. You can learn his name. I had 4 different names for each of you just to avoid any kind of metagaming or anything like that. So they were Fuzzmeister McGee, Bilbo, Ladybug, and Jessica. We got down to it. Jessica Rabbit is, anyway. All right. Anyway. Okay. So those were the ways that you could, by saying any of his names or by eating the cheese or eating the carrot or killing him, you could pass through the next door. Really surprised. Nobody went for the cheese. My notes are here. It says, the Herringon is a consummate troll. All right. So, one by one, and as though it's one instant after the other, Rill, you step into the next room, and then a second later, Haddison steps into the next room, and a second behind you, Ardor steps into the next room, and a second behind you, Tefik steps finally into the next room. And you all find yourself in a very large, dark cavern. Your father and his multicolored, kind of vaporous, amorphous form appears. Says, "Next, you must show me that you can move without being seen. A genie's best defense is often no one knowing you exist." So, here's the way this is going to work. Yeah, Rogue, you feel good about this, huh? All right. Here's the way this works. You have the opportunity to do anything your class abilities allow. If you got a spell you want to cast, if you got something that propels you across the room, whatever the case may be. The room is 150 feet long. It is 30 feet wide. There's cover at different intervals. There are mephits, which are lesser elementals. They're little like winged demon looking things, but they're elementals. So there's like some dust mephits. There are some ice mephits. There are acid mephits. These kind of little creatures flying around. Your goal is to avoid being seen. Now, if you don't have anything special you want to do necessarily, and you would prefer to just go straight to the challenge, it is a skill challenge with progressing orders of difficulty. Okay. If you fail, you restart. If you fail three times, you'll just go to the end. Okay? So, you are all in this room together. You could collaborate, or you can just go. What do you want to do? It's very dark in here.
Hey, Tifik.
What?
I thought you were supposed to be first. What happened there?
Patience.
Yeah.
It's a virtue.
But last.
You want me to grab you like I grabbed the herring gun?
You grabbed the herring gun?
Let me show you, brother.
I think I'm going to sit down and watch this.
You gonna do it?
I don't know what you are talking about.
It's a pose.
I didn't see a herring gone.
Playing mind games. All right, so it's a pose, athletics. It'll be athletics for you, Jason, and it will be either athletics or acrobatics for Ril.
13.
21.
You say 14,
13.
Ril? 13. All right, so he, Tyfek reaches across and puts you in the headlock of your life. Okay, biggest headlock you've ever been in. Big, strong muscles. The split mail's kind of cutting into your neck a little bit. It's nasty.
You ever heard of a fastball special, brother?
Hey, rocks your brains. You know, you should get this through your gullet. You're firstborn, right? Dad wanted you to have this thing. He'd just give it to you.
I'm going to eat him.
All right. You know, just pick him up and throw him.
I've got him. You got him. He's small, right?
Yeah,
so he's,
yeah,
and he's
small.
I'm
small but big. Plump.
So... while we'll come back to that in just a second, because while you guys are having your little tiff, I believe Ardor is sneaking off.
Yes.
Ardor, do you have any kind of class ability that you want to use to traverse the distance quickly, or do we need to go through your sneak challenge?
We just need to go through my sneak challenge.
Very good. Go ahead and roll me your first stealth check, please.
That is a 12 plus 3 plus 8, so 23.
23. Nobody notices you go, by the way. I don't think anybody's passive is 23. Am I correct? Passive perception? It'd be real if it was anybody, I imagine.
19.
All right. So you sneak off and get to the first batch of cover. Go ahead and make a second stealth check for me, please.
I do want to give you a visual for this. So, Tifek comes out behind me, but, like, she is just kind of walking around. She's trying to be sneaky. So she's behind him, and then the audience would see as soon as he moves to grapple Ril, she's just gone.
Just gone. Yeah.
She's
so,
just gone.
You kind of close the cracks, or if we say pores, in your skin, and you go kind of like a coal black, and you just ghost to the first batch of cover. A couple of mephits fly close by, but don't pay any attention to you. You're now ready to make your exit to second cover.
Okay. Do you want me to roll now?
Yes, please.
Oof. That would be 12 plus 3, 15.
You successfully go to the second bit of cover. All right, so we'll go back to the scene where you, Ril is about to be yeeted by Tifek. Tifek, make a athletics check. Ril, are you going to try and resist this?
Depending on which way he throws me.
Which way are you throwing him, Tifek? Down the hall toward a mephit at the cover?
Down the hall towards a mephit, for sure.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to resist that.
All right. You can make an acrobatics check to try and slip out as he throws you.
19.
20.
Ooh! You pick him up, and here it comes. The muscles flex, Tifek. You, all the muscles in your neck, you know, being an Earth Ganassi, you've got all these kind of big patches of dirt or rocks around you, and y'all hear the grind, like, as they kind of... all of them slide into place so that his, you know, your musculature is ready to pull on it. And you get to right at the, like, we can't stop now point with your arm. And all of a sudden, you have no weight on your arm. And your arm, whoosh, goes, you overcompensate. You kind of roll out a little bit. And you're seen by the first mephit and disappear and reappear near the door. That's one fail for you, Tifek.
So as he goes to throw me and as the mephit sees him.
Mm-hmm.
Can I? So I actually have 150 foot of movement if I spend a key point. because I can dash and then bonus action dash. I want to run up the wall.
Uh-huh.
And I think I can hit ceilings at this level. Let me double check.
If you can hit walls, I don't know if you can run on ceiling. I know you can run on
wall.
I think
if I'm constantly moving, maybe it's just walls, but I think... Oh, it's watered walls. That's what it is. Okay, sorry. But I'd like to run up near the top of the wall, and while they're looking at this distraction, and I would like to, you know, run, dash, blow a key point if I'm not caught by the time I'm that far. Because if I'm 100 foot in...
What we're going to do, because you're moving at full speed, so you cannot move slowly. Mm-hmm. You cannot stealth.
Yeah.
So what do you, are you proficient in stealth?
Yes.
So what is your stealth modifier?
+7.
+7. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to roll for a couple of methods and see if I can get a 17 or better on their perception check. If they see you that way, then you're going to reset to the beginning. If I fail those checks, then you will make it to end successfully on a single up the wall run. Okay?
Okay.
So the first one I'm going to roll at disadvantage because they are distracted by T-Fec. Okay?
And as I get out of the grip, can I pat T-Fec on the head?
Yeah, you smack him on the back of the head.
No, just a pat-pat. Because he's already overextended down to my level.
Yeah.
I mean, just pat-pat.
Okay. First one's a failure. So now you're past the first set of cover. I'm going to roll for a method to spot you on the second bit of cover. Towards the second bit of cover. Fail. All right. Next D20. Fail. Barely. That was a 16.
Ooh.
Last one. Here we go. 17 on the die. The last
Defender
one
win?
Looks up. Huh?
Defender win?
Ty goes to aggressor in my campaigns.
Oh, you play Jason style.
Do Ty goes to the defender?
Ty goes to defender in Jason's campaigns. But
oh, yeah.
if you tie AC or if you tie, well, let me think here. You said a DC. No, you know what? We'll go with a tie to defender since this is Jason's podcast. So you see a method turn to look at you and you put on that last little bit of speed. I mean, you push hard, you go a little further up the wall. And it costs you a little bit in the landing as you make it to the very end, to that last door there. But as you tumble and roll. Yes, bro.
How far am I up?
Let's say about 30 feet.
Okay. I'm just going to smack the ground, but I will do the monk soft landing, but I'm going to make it look like a... You know,
super cool.
Like a
three-point landing?
No, like a bad. Like, I'm going to let my belly absorb it. And it just, it's gonna look, it's
dirt.
Gonna look bad, but I am gonna, I am gonna use, you know, my monk skills to soften the impact,
sure.
But it's gonna be with the mast.
Okay. So you, and your, the momentum, carries you, into the next door, which opens as your head kind of collides with it and pushes you through.
Fair enough.
For, Ardor. Let's go ahead and get your next roll, please.
About how many feet are in between each sets of cover?
30.
Okay.
Give or take.
That was in... Oh, 22.
Okay, you successfully moved to the third bit of cover. You got one more to go from this cover to the door.
You want me to go ahead and roll that?
Yes, please. Haddison, T-Fec, you guys are on deck.
That would be a 26.
You successfully stealth, without no hesitation, just ghost your way past everybody. You watch the patrols. You think about what you're doing. They move. You move. You move. They move, and ghost all the way to the door. You saw Rill just eat it, and you see a trench leading up to the door. You calmly step in, and as you go through the next door, allow the pores of your skin to open and re-expose the flames inside of you. Well done.
I would actually, as I pass Rill, she wants to, like, lean down to his level and then let the sort of molten core sparks kind of see if she can just surprise him as she, like, blows him a kiss and walks through the door.
Yeah, you get blown a fiery kiss. Does it surprise you, Rill?
Let's see. He was not expecting that. Yeah. Oh.
Wheel, well, brother.
Looks like you made it too. Let's see if the lumbering oaf makes it.
Back to the tall ones.
Can I see to like the very end?
Do you have dark vision?
Yes.
Okay. Dark vision is 60 feet, unless you have something else, so you can't quite see the end because it's 120 feet away.
Mm-hmm.
150 feet away.
Okay. I am going to cast Dancing Lights.
Okay.
Which has a range of 120 feet. So I'm going to like cast it as far as I can to 120 feet. Can I see the end now?
How much light does Dancing Lights shine?
10-foot radius.
So you can't quite see the end. So you know, dark vision doesn't give you 60 feet beyond the next light. It's 60 feet from mm-hmm. you, right? So 120 okay. feet mm-hmm. plus 10 feet is only 130 feet. You can't quite see the end. I'd say you have a good idea of where it is, but you can't exactly see it.
Okay, but I have a good idea. Yeah. It's a little further.
Yeah.
Tefek, do you have an idea what to do?
Yes. Cass passes out a trace within himself.
Okay.
Look, he's gonna walk on forward. 40 what? Feet of movement.
So you'll go. So you're gonna make your stealth challenges, but with a plus 10.
Yes, but I have disadvantage because I have splint on.
Let's go with the first one. Go ahead.
That's a 21.
You successfully move to the first cover. You see the dancing lights up ahead that Haddison has conjured, and a couple of Mephits are kind of paying attention to that. You take advantage of it, get to the first cover. Go ahead and make your second check.
12.
12 is exactly the DC, and you barely cut around a corner as a Mephit's turning. You kind of lean back. It's a little counterintuitive. You lean back a little bit. The spell that you've cast, the shadows kind of pull up across your face, and you swear you're caught. But the Mephit's gaze locks for a second and then just keeps on moving. Go ahead for your third check.
I breathe softly under my breath and make a small curse, quiet enough so my god can't hear me.
Understood.
And I'll make my final...
No, this is your third one. You got four.
Okay.
This is three of four.
18.
18. You successfully moved to the third cover. You got one more sprint between here and the door, and you're done.
That one ended up being caught. It's a 20.
20. You ghost into the door. Clink, 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 clink. Being concealed somewhat by the shadows, so it's like clunk, 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 clunk. And you walk in the door. You two, Rill and Ardor, see Tefek walk in the door. Some of the shadows kind of clinging to him. He looks confident. He looks cocky. He looks like he did it.
Is Rill still on the ground?
No.
Well,
not unless you want to be.
Depends. Are we doing the 1 second split? Because if so, I'm going to let him get up slow. If not,
you can take as much time as you want. Now he basically used an action between each thing.
So okay,
I'd be up. Yeah.
Well, I know the last one it was kind of magically compressed, so I was just checking.
Right. No, yeah. This one's not. So Rill's not on the ground, but you do see a Rill shaped trench on your last like 15 feet up to the door.
Might be a little wet, just a little, you know, on the sides where.
Sure.
Yeah.
And counter to his element, there's a little bit of dirt on Rill.
I hate mud. Kind of looks him up and down, and then just kind of walks past him and Ardor.
And Haddison, how do you want to do this? Let me add one thing. The range on Dancing Lights is 120 feet, but it says that you can move them further along if you want to. So I would say the initial cast is 120
feet. Within
range,
though.
Is that what it says?
Okay. Oh, it says within range.
Okay. As bonus action. So within range. Okay, I got you. Yeah, never mind.
Yep.
Okay.
So being really upset, he kind of starts, Haddison starts crying a little bit as he sees his big brother kind of just left him. He's like, Tefek, as he starts tearing up and, he kind of brings himself together a little bit. He's like, well, I guess I should take like the heron gone and should man up. I need to man up. As it goes ahead and he kind of brings his hands together. He kind of makes a circle with his hand, kind of points one eye, and he's going to cast Dimension Door.
Okay, right on, right on. Are you trying to aim for the door, or are you going to aim for as far as you can see?
Well, I don't think I can see the door.
You can't, but you know, you can try.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and aim for the door best as I can.
All right, so this is gonna be based on your ability to control your spell. So we're gonna do two checks. One is a perception check. Make a perception check, and we'll just see how high the DC for your Arcana follow up is gonna be. Okay.
That is a 15.
Okay, great. Go ahead and make a follow up Arcana check for me, please.
Ooh, that is a 27.
Oh.
Nice.
You
nice.
I'm gonna make Mama proud. You hold your hands up. You kind of sight, and for just a second, you see a little flicker from Ardor inside the chamber, and you go, "That's it." And you reach down and magically open a door that isn't there. Step through, and as he steps in nearly on top of you, Ardor, right next to you, right next to you. He's just there.
She sparks up.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to startle you. I saw a little bit of your flame, and I knew I could get through with that.
Well, I guess you're welcome.
He kind of looks over at Tifek and kind of makes like a really upset face at him. He's like, oh, and kind of like turns away as his face.
It's time for you to grow up.
It's time for you to be nice.
Let's keep going.
You guys do have go ahead. You have a moment here if there's something you want to prepare, if there's something you want to do. You're heading for the third trial. What do you want?
I'm going to cast a message to Rill.
Okay.
And I'm just going to say, Tifek is mean. We need to beat him up. And you can respond to that.
You did good. And you know I'm always up for that.
Kind of gives a little, head nod, but not trying to point it at Rill, but just kind of a head nod forward looking at the door.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm gonna lay on hands on myself.
Okay, go ahead.
Heal up for 25 points.
So. All right.
Dumb question.
I have a dumb answer for you.
How close is the nearest method through
the door? Oh, so as Haddison walks through, Dimension Door's through, the door closes.
Okay.
It's still there.
No, I was gonna see if I could do some kind of toss and maybe get the pretentious big guy back in there in front of a Mephit. But I'm not going to open the door.
Okay. So, do y'all have a moment if there's something else you guys want to say or something else you guys want to do in preparation?
I have a health potion, and I'm going to kind of pop him like, Mom always said to be prepared, and he starts drinking it.
Okay. 2d4 plus 2.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Jason, are you sure you can lay on hands yourself?
Absolutely.
Yeah. 100%.
Absolutely.
That's lewd.
It's great.
I gotcha.
Oh my gosh. What? Gotcha. Oh, no! No!
Oh, you walked into it, too. Yeah, you didn't catch it.
Took a little bit.
Took a minute.
Wow. That ain't right. This is cutting out.
If we're cutting it out, are you sure your deity approves of that kind of behavior? All right. Are you guys ready to marshal on? You've girded up your loins. You've got yourself ready to move on.
I'm going to cast one more message. I'm going to cast it to Adore now. And
Ardor.
I'm not going to look at her.
He Ardor. Can call me Ardor. Adore if he Sorry. Wants. Adore's cute.
Adorable. I'm going to cast a message. I'm just again, kind of the same message. Tifek is mean, and we need to beat him up. Rill's on board.
I agree that we could put Tifek in his place.
All right. That's all I'm doing.
This has been part one of Trial of the Elementals. We're super excited to be able to bring part two to you guys here in a couple of weeks. Be sure to follow us and be watching for them when the next episode drops. You can continue with this little story arc that kind of describes some things about our villains. Thank y'all so much. We hope you all had a good time.